Well, let's bring you to TU then and meeting Dr. Heneke, because that obviously changed your life.
Yes. Ben Heneke and Isabel Ronan at Central High School, and then Beaumont Brustel, who was on the speech faculty at TU and later became the head of the department after Ben Heneke became assistant to the president. Those were the three primary influences in my career life. Miss Ronan was just one of the finest speech teachers you can imagine. Central High School also had Alfield Larson. Miss Larson produced The Days, which was the really popular all-school show, and she also produced the class plays. Miss Ronan produced two plays a year that were referred to as the speech arts plays. So at Central, I was one of the few people who performed with both of those ladies because there was a slight rivalry there. But I ended up being in all three of the class plays and in both of the speech arts plays. Miss Ronan had been the teacher of Tony Randall, Paul Harvey, and Ben Heneke. She just was a tremendous influence on me.
What year did you graduate from Tulsa Central?
I graduated in 1947. We'll be having a class reunion next year to celebrate the 65th anniversary.
Still a number of classmates around yet?
Yes, that class gets together the first Thursday of every month. Now we're at the first watch for lunch. We were having about 30 people show up. Mind you, we had 777 seniors at Central High School when I was a senior. Central had over 5,000 students. This was back in the 30s. Look magazine, while I was in high school, listed Central as one of the 10 outstanding high schools in the country. And all the faculty members, believe it or not, had master's degrees. I don't know at what point that was no longer maintained. But at any rate, in 1939, Rogers and Webster were opened. And that was a tremendous relief. Central's population then was reduced from 5,000 to more like 3,000. Anyway, in my graduating class, there were 777. Now, here in Tulsa, we still get about 25 people, although I'm sad to report that just in the past month, five of our class members have died.
You mentioned earlier Paul Harvey and Tony Randall. How much older were they? Had they established a career yet when you were there at Tulsa Central?
Paul Harvey was at Central along with Ben Heneke. Harvey would have been almost 20 years older than I am.
Okay. Well, then he would have probably established, because Paul Harvey then also was on KBOO.
Yes. All I remember about Tony Randall is that he lived in one of the houses that had to be torn down for the Broken Arrow Expressway.
At TU, you then joined the radio station.
I started there the second semester of the sophomore year. Pat Welch was the chief announcer. He was a veteran. At the time I went to TU, there were lots of older students who were veterans from the Second World War. So we had a very mature group. Pat Welch had the auditions for new announcers on KWGS scheduled at the beginning of each semester. So I immediately auditioned and immediately became one of the staff announcers. Now remember, at that time, the station was completely student-operated, except for the faculty member who was the manager of the station. So the students were getting experience as program director, chief announcer, music director, and a bunch of others, sports director, and then also being on the sports reporting staffs. I think by the following year, I became the music librarian and music director. Now, the music director part was planning all of the classical music programs. The music librarian part, which is the part that was a student-paid staff, I think I was making 75 cents an hour. the music librarian was given the lists of selections to be played in each music program, and I had to pull those out of the vast collection and stack them in the proper order. At that time, they were still 78 RPM. But before I graduated, I was starting to add the LPs, and all of those music selections were chosen and typed up. I would pull the records from that and stack them on the proper shelves in the control room. Then the next day, the job was to take all the old ones back and refile them.
We should point out for generations to come that LPs meant
long playing, whereas the 78 RPM, 78 revolutions per minute, discs could only hold about 4 minutes. The LPs, made from vinyl, much narrower grooves and needles. Mm-hmm. You couldn't use a 78 RPM needle on an LP because it would totally destroy. It was a much smaller groove and it's softer material. So the main difference was that on one side of an LP, you would get up to around 25 minutes. As they improved later, you could get up to 30 minutes on one side.
And did we say they were 33 and a third revolutions per minute?
That's right.
Recording devices back in that time, was there wire recording, reel-to-reel?
When I went to TU as a student, we still had some wire recorders, but tape recorders were being introduced more and more. And the wire recorders, which had seemed so amazing because you could actually record sound on a spool of wire, they were beginning to be a real nuisance because the only way you could splice them was by actually tying a knot with two ends of wire. If you were editing and needed to cut something out, you would cut it out of the wire and then knot the wire. A real problem was the fact that then when you would run the spool, it would catch sometimes on where the twist was. Reel-to-reel recording made it much simpler.